You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to help you plan that unbelievable travel experience. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
This is the Orange and Black Insider Bengals podcast. Former Bengals linebacker, Takiyo Spikes.
I was frustrated because you can tell certain coaches' hands are tied. It's like, what are we doing? You know, what are we here for?
We've got Tim McGee.
Since Zach Taylor has come in as the head coach, you really didn't know what to expect from them.
Bengals wide receiver Tyler Boyd joining us.
I mean, at the end of the day, I mean, it's fun to me when I get to go home or play the Steelers.
Bengals running back Mickey Woods.
Yeah, I am surprised, but I'm also happily surprised that they're starting to step up to the plate and spend a little money.
I am Matt Minnick, and this is Shock Talk.
Red Velvet Hot Lap.
I think anybody who follows Cincinnati football on all three levels knows our guest.
Sam Hubbard, the defensive end for the Cincinnati Bengals.
We had a lot of, kinks and stuff that we worked through the first year, and now we're really able to focus on the details.
None other than Ike Taylor.
As far as, excellence, Ocho, for the most part, I would give the edge because he was more healthier right now than AJ. If you catch a healthy AJ, you catch some hell.
What's up, everybody? It's Anthony Cosenza with CincyJungle.com and the Orange and Black Insider Bengals podcast. Happy Tuesday to you. Sorry that we did not come to you on Monday with the news and notes and water cooler chat that we usually do. Life happened. It was a holiday for some of you anyway, so hopefully you enjoyed the holiday weekend. And I feel a little flaky, guys. I apologize. I said that we were consistent on Mondays. We didn't do it yesterday on Monday. And then I said, for those of you who follow us at BengalsOBI on Twitter, I said, hey, we're going 2 p.m. Eastern. We're gonna be there. And here we are, an hour late. So life is getting in the way, but I'm glad that all of you are joining us regardless. We've got some news and notes with the Bengals, the AFC North, and the NFL to get to. I've seen a lot of hellos. Call me Mark, happy Tuesday. Robert Rourke, hey, JC, how you doing? Everybody, Chris Hubbard, good to see all of you guys. Rob Friend, all of you. Great to see all of you. Rob Friend, Cincinnati got a lot of snow yesterday. So he worded it a little differently, a little more PG-13. But yeah, if you are in Cincinnati area, in the Kentucky area, hopefully you are all staying, and in Texas, I guess there's some crazy weather going on in Texas. Stay safe, especially if you are forced to drive, if you are forced to be out in the elements, please stay safe. Be careful on the roads and all that kind of stuff. We're hoping for the best for all of you as you go and brace through all those elements. Hey, let's get to some news and notes. There's a lot to get to once again on the water cooler chat. Why do we call it the water cooler chat? In case you're new around these parts, we do that because whether you are in a virtual office, whether you're back in a true office setting, a lot of times all of us get together and talk a little football, talk some sports. And when it comes to the Cincinnati Bengals, when it comes to the NFL, you can sound like the most educated person in your office in terms of Bengals news, NFL news, all that good stuff. Chris Hubbard, could we get a video of John shoveling snow? I don't know. I'll have to ask him if he's out there shoveling. We'll be back on the air tomorrow night. So maybe he's been shoveling some snow. I don't know. I don't have that issue where I live, thankfully. That doesn't sound like a fun chore. So I don't have that issue in Southern California. Thankfully. But I feel for all of you who have to do that. All right. Hey, let's get to it. I'm going to start sharing my screen here. And we can go through. Some of these are from CincyJungle.com. Some of them are from NFL.com, from Twitter, all that good stuff. And we're going to run through them. Let's start with some unfortunate news. And I believe it was my colleague, John Sheeran, who shared this one on CincyJungle.com. Adam Jones arrested in Hamilton County, charged with assault. Apparently, according to a report, he, quote, punched and kicked a person in the head until the person was unconscious. So more details. There is an update here. The person Jones assaulted, according to Cincinnati police officers, was a security guard for the nightclub Clutch OTR. 37-year-old Kevin Sheets was was allegedly punched and kicked in the head by Jones until he lost consciousness. Earlier on Monday, our own Zim Houday, apparently he, unless there was something I misunderstood there, but he had reached out to Adam Jones, I guess, and Adam Jones called this, you know, a farce of a report. We'll see what happens there. But, you know, this is unfortunately part of who Adam Jones is. He talked about, you know, drunken disorderly conduct 2 years ago. There was, you know, the thing in Las Vegas that unfortunately led to someone being paralyzed and handicapped from, I believe, the waist down. You know, there's a lot of different stuff that goes on that has gone on in Adam Jones' life in terms of legal troubles. He was, you know, there was the incident, I think, even before when he was still in Cincinnati. I think he hit a woman at a bar. I mean, there's just kind of a long line of stuff. So, and then of course he did reveal that he is bipolar in April of last year, you know, potentially explaining some of the behavioral issues that Jones is experiencing. But, unfortunately, not to start the show off with a sour note, but the, you know, the rap sheet's kind of long, so we'll see what happens here with Adam Jones. Hopefully he can right the ship and stay out of trouble. I know he started a couple of business ventures and, you know, yeah, John said he also went on the Pat McAfee show to explain what happened. So, you know, it's just unfortunate. You know, he's a guy that even, you know, he's getting close to 40 and, you know, this kind of stuff continues to follow him, unfortunately. Let's move on, and we can kind of do a little two-prong here. The Bengals, some of their team leaders, Joe Mixon and Tyler Boyd being a couple of them, they are really the social media recruiters. They've talked about some coaches, some players, all that kind of stuff. And Tyler Boyd was trying to recruit recently J.J. Watt, who was recently released by the Houston Texans, another NFL piece of news, in case you did not hear that one. another PG-13 tweet by Tyler Boyd. He @ JJ Watt, Bengals bro, let's turn this stuff up. but the, you know, Watt surprisingly had an 85.5 Pro Football Focus grade. You know, I didn't expect him to be that high. I just didn't seem to pop off the film as much as he has in certain other years, but was obviously still an effective player. Just a very, you know, Hall of Fame career. We'll see how much he has left in the tank. It sounds like a lot of players, Deshaun Watson requesting a trade, JJ Watt requesting his release. A lot of people are disenchanted. A lot of players are disenchanted as to the direction of the Houston Texans. So he is now a free agent. Tyler Boyd is pounding the table. The Bengals need edge rush help. Carl Lawson is a guy who will be a free agent. They've got Sam Hubbard, but you know, behind that, after unloading Carlos Dunlap in a trade last year, the Bengals need some edge rush help. It is presumed that they will make a push for Shaquille Barrett of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers 2 years after they initially pursued him and then pulled a contract off the table. We talked about that a couple weeks ago on the water cooler chat. So the Tyler Boyd is trying to get J.J. Watt to come to Cincinnati. Now, on that same note here, it sounds like J.J. Watt is enamored with coming somewhere in Ohio. I like to kind of go Bengals first and then AFC North, but since this was Bengals and then, you know, we're talking about J.J. Watt, Mary Kay Cabot of the Cleveland Plain Dealer, or Cleveland.com rather. He is serious. So this is via Twitter. He is seriously considering the Browns as one of his options because they have a lot of what he wants. A lot of what he wants is probably a young, you know, whatever your thoughts are on Baker, a pretty good quarterback, a good running game, and a team that went to, you know, the divisional round of the playoffs. They beat Pittsburgh in Pittsburgh last year in the playoffs. So, you know, this is a team that's, you know, probably he feels is pretty close are the Cleveland Browns. We'll see if how accurate that is. But J.J. Watt is apparently seriously considering joining the Browns. Obviously, the money would be there, need to be there. It's all, you know, obviously it's a bit closer in terms of where he grew up in Wisconsin and went to school and whatnot. So geographically, it would make a little more sense than where he was in Houston. But we'll see what happens there. That would be a scary lineup if J.J. Watt does indeed have a lot in the tank. That would be a scary lineup for the Cincinnati Bengals in terms of Myles Garrett and J.J. Watt and others on that defense. You know, they've got a lot of pieces there, and the Bengals would really, really, really need to bolster their offensive line if J.J. Watt were to join the Browns, as it sounds like he may. So a little bit of scary news if you're a Bengals fan there. Not the greatest news, especially if you are a Bengals fan that wants J.J. Watt to come to Cincinnati to have him go to one of your most fierce rivals. Not the best news there. Let's keep rolling on. We just talked about the Bengals needing offensive line help in the wake of J.J. Watt potentially joining the Browns here. And we've got this, in case you did not see this, the Bengals, Brian Callahan says he would prefer to not move Jonah Williams to guard. So one of the elements that the Bengals that could be in discussion, say, for instance, the Bengals draft a Penei Sewell after a Penei Sewell or Rashawn Slater after doing something in free agency, whether it's getting at tackle, whether it's getting a Taylor Moton, a Daryl Williams or, you know, Matt Filer in free agency, and one of those guys who they think could play right tackle. So you potentially would have Penei Sewell, Rashawn Slater as your left tackle. And then one of these free agents is your right tackle replacing Bobby Hart. Maybe they even stick with Bobby Hart because the Bengals seem to like him far more than many of us on the outside do. And there's talk that maybe Jonah Williams would be better suited at guard. A lot of you, well, some of you may not remember this, but when Jonah Williams was coming out in the draft, a lot of draft pundits, or some of them rather, were thinking that Jonah Williams is going to be a better guard in the NFL because of the arm length. He doesn't have the longest arms, ideal arm length as a tackle in the NFL. I remember Daniel Jeremiah definitively thought that he was going to be an elite guard at the next level, maybe a pretty good tackle. That was kind of the take from Jeremiah of NFL.com, and we'll hear from him in just a second too. But that's not seemingly in the cards for Brian Callahan, the Bengals offensive coordinator. They don't want to move him inside. They like what they saw there, even in limited snaps. You see here, quote, Jonah played only a handful of games at left tackle and played well. I see Jonah as a young ascending tackle, and to move him at this point off the tackle spot would probably be a disservice to him. That's not to say that's not possible or could never happen, but I just think he's done some really good things as a tackle so far. To move him off of that in this point in his career would be a disservice to him. So, what's also interesting here is it wasn't, and that was via Bengals.com, by the way, that quote from Brian Callahan. What's also interesting to note about that is he didn't say, I'm not opposed to moving him to the right side necessarily in terms of being a right tackle. We draft a left tackle, we bring in a left tackle, that sort of thing. So that was, it's a little telling, I guess, in some regards that he did not go that route with Jonah Williams. Hey, we're opposed to moving him to the right side. One of the things, if you watched our show last Wednesday with John Sheeran and myself, there was an option he threw out, Robinson, the tackle of the Jaguars, who's an impending free agent. You know, he could be a guy that the Bengals look at putting at left tackle if they bring him in via free agency, and then you would move Jonah to right tackle, and that's what they did at Alabama with those two guys. So, you'd have when Jonah was earlier in his career. So, you know, that's something that could be on the table for discussion. But for right now, the Bengals prefer not to go the route of kicking Jonah inside. There's a major issue at left guard. You know, I had high hopes personally for Michael Jordan. I still think that the potential is there because he's so young, but there are, you know, there's been a lot that he's put out on film that has been, that's left a lot to be desired. The Bengals need to figure out what they're doing with Quentin Spain. They need to figure out the right guard spot. You know, if you were able to, you know, draft a guy, also get a guy in free agency, two different tackles, and you move Jonah Williams inside, you would seemingly solve a lot of issues on the offensive line. But it seems as if they view, and rightfully so, in a lot of respects, they view Jonah Williams as a tackle, probably a left tackle. So we'll see if those words are hollow come draft time, come free agency, with what the Bengals are going to do. There's some reports out there that the Bengals are going to throw some big money at offensive linemen, whether that's a guard or a tackle. We're not completely sure yet, but it sounds as if the Bengals will be at least somewhat big spenders in free agency, which would be a refreshing change, especially in back-to-back off seasons. That would be a refreshing change comparative to what we've seen in years past. Again, I'm Anthony Cazenza. This is the Orange and Black Insider Bengals podcast, part of the Cincy Jungle Podcast Network. Happy to have you joining us live, or if you're downloading us after the live stream, thank you for doing so. Please leave us a review on your favorite streaming platforms. We're on all of them, so check us out. Get the program how you can. Try and join us live when we go live. We appreciate the support, and it's great to have all of you with us, joining us today on Tuesday. Usually this is up on Monday afternoon for you all, but happy to have you joining us Tuesday. The Cincinnati Bengals are kind of, once again, they're last year when the Bengals had this nice draft, they had the good free agency, and in the summer, all of a sudden, they got the buzz a little bit. Peter Schrager of NFL Network and some folks at CBS and others were saying, you know, this is a team on the rise right now. This is a team that could compete for the playoffs right now. Well, they lost a lot of the one-score games. They had to get in a lot of shootouts. They had to put a lot on Joe Burrow as a rookie without any training camp, really, or any preseason games. So they put a lot on their rookie quarterback. Ultimately, he got hurt, and things kind of fell apart. Well, now they've got a top-five pick again this year, potentially poised to spend some money in free agency, as I mentioned earlier. And now we've got some people jumping on the bandwagon early again, at least in terms of those at CBS Sports. They say that they are primed to make a major leap in 21. This is courtesy of Jason Markham, lead guy at cincyjungle.com. Basically, they wrote they've won six games, and this is from Cody Benjamin of CBS Sports. They've won six games in 2 years with Zach Taylor, six games combined, plus the tie. Can't forget the tie. But boy, oh boy, will Joe Burrow's return under center give them an adrenaline boost. For the second straight offseason, the Bengals also have a ton of money to play with, meaning they can continue to surround their young quarterback with talent. Maybe it's up front, please. Maybe it's another weapon to fill out an already promising wide receiver core. Either way, if Burrow can stay upright, since he should easily be bound for an improvement over 4-11-1, it helps that rivals like the Steelers could be due for regression as they battle age, cap issues, and quarterback questions. So CBS Sports is, they are a fan of the direction the Bengals are heading, based on their last year's draft class, last year's free agency, guys getting healthy, coming back, Joe Burrow, DJ Reader, many, many others. And then, of course, the high picks that they have this year, you know, again, with the top five pick that they have and the top pick in the second round, you're kind of getting almost another first rounder like you did with T. Higgins last year. You're getting a guy who, by all rights, should be a first round talent. That's usually how it happens with those first handful of picks in the second round. With that, with where the Bengals are slated to pick, that should be a first round talent that they are grabbing in that spot. Now, who knows if they move back, collect more picks, or, you know, what they end up doing, but the Bengals should be in a good position to improve their roster, both just by getting guys back healthy, but also in additions in free agency. More, you know, hopefully this year too, there are the preseason games. not to get guys injured, but to get them more experience. This is still a young team, and they're going to get even younger when they're supposedly shedding the contracts of Geno Atkins. It sounds like AJ Green's not going to be back, so there's some of your older guys that are probably not going to be retained on this team. You already let go of another veteran guy in Carlos Dunlap, so this team's getting younger. And when you've got a bunch of second-year guys, third-year guys, and they're not – they didn't have the preseason last year. They had a watered-down training camp. You know, hopefully things start to normalize this year where guys can potentially do that and have a little bit more game-like experience with the preseason and whatnot. And, you know, with the new additions and this team being young, they would need that. But I think that, like CBS Sports says, I think a lot of us feel that they are headed in the right direction. They've made some good picks. Now, if they impress us once again – with what they do in free agency and in the draft, then it's going to be up to the coaches. It's going to be up to the coaches to perform and mine that talent out of some of these guys because, you know, another, you know, 4-win season, even 6 wins, depending on what this roster looks like and how a lot of people perceive it, even 6 wins may not be enough this year, even if there is perceived growth. You know, I think that may not be enough for a lot of people to put belief into this coaching staff. I think this team needs to make a pretty significant step forward in terms of its record, wins, losses, and overall performances in close games, all of that. I think there needs to be some statement. I hope we can all agree on that there needs to be kind of some more statement wins. There needs to be some of these closeout wins that you have in the pocket late in the game that you should hang on to those. And it would reflect in your record, obviously, but it would just kind of reflect in terms of the growth that the team is showing. So that is at least a ray of sunshine in terms of potential optimism from CBS Sports there.
Vacations can be tricky. You already know how to book flights and hotels, but now the only thing you're missing is, you know, the actual travel experience. Because is it really a vacation if you're just sitting around like you would at home? You need a tool to get the most out of your time away. That's where Viator steps in. You can book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
What's up, guys? I'm Evan Turner, co-host of the Point Forward podcast, alongside Andre Iguodala. We got a special series out now, all about our favorite NBA cities, the greatest places to travel, the evolving cultures and cuisines, and some of our most memorable experiences while we were on the road during our many years in the NBA. We talk about Miami, Chicago, New York, and many more. Tune in to Courts and Culture, the Point Forward travel guide, sponsored by Hennessy. You can find it on Point Forward Feed on YouTube or wherever you get your podcasts.
The 82-game preseason is in the books, and it's finally time for the real season. Don't miss out on any of the NBA playoff action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. From the play-in tournament through the finals, DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SMASH. New customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. That's code SMASH, only on DraftKings. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 and over, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Let's keep rolling with some things here. Let's go to – I talked about this a little bit with the Bengals needing offensive line help. I guess I should have brought this in here. This Daniel Jeremiah brought out his – of NFL.com. I was just talking about him earlier. Daniel Jeremiah brought out his mock draft 2.0. Now, the first go-around, Daniel Jeremiah had the Bengals taking Rashawn Slater with Penei Sewell still on the board. He had Sewell going number 10, all the way to number 10 to the Cowboys, which shocked a lot of people because a lot of people are – some people seem to be convinced that there is no way in hell that Penei Sewell is going to be available when the Bengals go on the clock at number 5. I'm telling you that it definitely is a possibility. It's a strong possibility. He's not there, but we see this every year, guys. We see this every year that we say, there's no way that guy's here. There's no way that guy's going to be there when the Bengals pick. There's no way that guy's going to be. And lo and behold, there are players available that we all swore up and down we're not going to be available. And yet there they are. So there is a distinct possibility that Penei Sewell could be gone by the time the Bengals pick. There is a distinct possibility that he could be available because of the amount of quarterbacks that seem to be slated to go within the top 5, top 10 in this draft. So here we go right here. Speaking of the quarterbacks, Jacksonville Jaguars, Trevor Lawrence at number 1, Zach Wilson at number 2. You've got Ja'Marr Chase, one of the guys that a lot of us think is and will be a Bengals target at number 5, especially depending on how these first 4 picks play out. They have him going to the Dolphins at number 3 overall. Then you have the Falcons getting the heir to Matt Ryan, Justin Fields, the Ohio State quarterback, and here he is right here, Penei Sewell, Cincinnati Bengals, number 5 overall. Here, and he mentions Kyle Pitts. That's another guy who's been mocked to the Bengals. Ja'Marr Chase has been a guy that's been mocked to the Bengals, but he has Sewell going here and not Slater. So Penei Sewell is the pick for the Bengals by Daniel Jeremiah in his most recent mock draft. Now Pitts goes the next pick later to the Eagles because apparently the Eagles are shopping Zach Ertz. We're going to talk about that in just a second too. So they've got Dallas Goedert, but they are trying to shop Zach Ertz for a trade. And if they were to do that, then Kyle Pitts, he says, would be their pick. And then, of course, you've got some others. Trey Lance going to the Panthers at number 8. There is a report as well that just came out today that the Panthers are going to give up whatever is necessary for them to be able to trade for Deshaun Watson. So that's another headline out there that's been hitting the airwaves recently. The Panthers are looking to potentially make a splash and get Deshaun Watson and pair him with Joe Brady in Carolina. So, you know, and Matt Rhule there. So, you know, here though, he has them getting Trey Lance. Of course, this is pre-free agency. Just going through here again, you've got kind of a run on corners, edge rushers. You've got Rashawn Slater going to San Francisco at 12. Just San Francisco just keeps bolstering their offensive line. I guess that would be the replacement for Trent Williams there. You know, you've got kind of a run on wide receivers. He has the two Alabama wide receivers, Waddle going 13 first to the Chargers, and then Devontae Smith, Heisman winner, going the very next pick to the Vikings. Man, Devontae Smith and Justin Jefferson on the same team. That would be – and Adam Thielen. That would be crazy. One of the guys I like a lot is an offensive lineman. Initially, a guard could kick out to tackle. Elijah Vera Tucker, I'm going to Arizona at number 16. So that's another guy maybe that could be on the Bengals' radar depending on where he falls and if the Bengals move back. Christian Darrisaw, another guy who is very talented from Virginia Tech, going to Washington football team at 19. Then you've got, you know, a couple of other guys here, edge rushers, cornerbacks. Pittsburgh shoring up their offensive line with Jalen Mayfield, a kid out of Michigan. And then here, Trayvon Mooring to the Ravens, a safety, pick number 27. Browns pick before Joe Tyron, an edge rusher. Here's the interesting one, Mac Jones, the quarterback going to New Orleans to replace Drew Brees. They do have Jameis Winston on that roster, but it sounds like Brees is probably going to retire. And then you've got Tevin Jenkins, a tackle for the Packers, Azeez Ojulari, Landon Dickerson and Nick Bolton, the linebacker for the Bucs. So what was that? Four quarterbacks in the first round, according to Daniel Jeremiah, but he has Penei Sewell being the pick for the Cincinnati Bengals. So that's, that's got to be one of the, I mean, that really, if the Bengals stay put at three, it's got to be one of three players at this point, you would think. Maybe Slater's in that discussion, but you would think, and maybe they end up liking Slater more than Sewell, but you would think it's either Sewell slash Slater. It's one of those two guys. And then you probably have to choose, you know, Pitts, Jamar Chase, and you kind of take those three or four names and you say, who's left and what have we done in free agency, and then make that pick from there. But I think those are all the guys in that discussion, or should at least be at the, you know, the whittled down options with that pick at number five for the Cincinnati Bengals. The fellas over at Stripe Hype put out a mock draft, a seven-round mock draft for the Cincinnati Bengals. I thought it was kind of interesting. This is by Hunter Bittinger. This was put out on Valentine's Day. Basically, this is Jamar Chase and Penei Sewell off the board. So if those and then he's got a trade going here, where the Bengals get pick number nine from the Broncos move up. So there's some scenarios there. Round one, and doing so with that first pick then and moving back, Rashawn Slater from Northwestern is the pick, according to Hunter Bittinger, at number five for the Bengals. You know, he notes Daniel Jeremiah as the pick there. Then he goes an interior offensive lineman from Ohio State, Wyatt Davis, a guy who is very talented. Unfortunately, the Cincinnati Bengals have not had good luck when they've drafted interior offensive linemen from Ohio State in recent years. Billy Price still trying to get a stranglehold on one of the starting positions, whether it's center or guard, and Trey Hopkins has easily leapfrogged him for the center position. But we may see Billy Price be the guy who starts for the Bengals at center early in this season because of the knee injury to Trey Hopkins at the end of the year. So Wyatt Davis would be an intriguing pick. It just hopefully would break a string of some, you know, and then Michael Jordan being the other, hopefully it would break a string of some not non-successful picks by the Bengals in terms of Buckeye interior offensive linemen in recent years. Joseph Osai, an edge rusher. Bengals need help there, and these are the two picks, by the way, in the second round based on that trade with Denver. That's the scenario here. We'll go to round three, and we'll end it here. You've got Ifeatu Melifonwu, hopefully I said that right, the cornerback from Syracuse, in the third round, and then Davion Nixon, the defensive tackle out of Iowa. The Bengals need interior defensive line help. That's another sneaky need. So if you've got Geno Atkins supposedly on his way out, Josh Tupou opted out last year, so he's got to play catch up a little bit, I would think. You know, potentially, I don't know whether it's getting into shape or just kind of getting back in the groove of things after taking a year off. You know, you've got Rinnell Wren, but he missed the entire year with an injury as well, so he's got to play catch up. Mike Daniels is an impending free agent. He was on a rental deal there, so you know, there's a lot of moving parts there in that interior defensive line. The Bengals need to get some production. They need to get some health. And then, of course, you got DJ Reader, who missed most of the year too as an interior defensive lineman, but he looked pretty productive when he was healthy. It's just a matter of the Bengals getting some bodies in there and guys that can stay healthy. You know, Glasgow was another guy that they liked for a little bit, and then he just couldn't stay healthy. So interior defensive lineman, is a sneaky need for the Bengals. I won't go through the rest of the picks. You can check it out on stripehype.com. A seven-round mock draft with certain players off the board and trades being engaged in at stripehype.com. Royal Flush 513 says, why not re-sign Daniels at a bargain basement price? I would think that both sides would want to make that happen. The Bengals could get a nice, you know, a manageable deal on a guy who's at the end of his career but still is showing productivity. And Mike Daniels, he's been on our show a couple of times. Mike Daniels has said that he loves the city of Cincinnati and he he seemed to really like his year here. I mean, he had an injury, but came back from that a lot quicker than a lot of people thought. And, you know, the stat sheet doesn't jump out at you, but, you know, he was a guy that was just productive. He was very active, caused pressure, and seemed to be kind of a leader for this team, even as a guy who was only here for a year. So I think a lot of people would be fine with Daniels coming in and being a rotational player. You know, I think to be fair to Daniels too, he was pressed into a role that was not envisioned for him when they signed him. You know, the idea was you've got Daniels, you've got Geno, you've got DJ Reader, and then you've got Daniels to come in and mix up the looks and keep guys fresh, especially Geno, who was at the end of his career. But if you keep him fresh, you know, he could be productive. You've got Daniels who could be productive, but it's just with all of the injuries up front, Daniels had to play a lot of different roles and a lot more snaps than they envisioned. So if they can get him back on a manageable deal and that he wants to come back here, I think that's great for both sides. And obviously if he can still be productive and if they could kind of keep a manageable role for him by bolstering up the defensive line, I think that's a good way to do it. Let's keep rolling here. We've got a few more things to get to before we pop on out of here on the Tuesday, this version of the Tuesday water cooler chat. Let's go a little bit of AFC North stuff. Just quickly, I'm sure everybody probably knows this, but Marquise Pouncey, the center, very good center for the Steelers. He announced his retirement a couple of days ago at the end of last week. So he will no longer be there. We've talked a lot about the age. There's another, I think it was Dan Jeremiah who was talking, or CBS Sports rather, was talking about the issues with age on the Steelers roster aside from cap issues and whatnot. So there are a couple of guys that the Steelers will be losing that they'll still be paying dead cap money to, and Pouncey's one of them. So, great career, great player for a long time. That offensive line was a little uncharacteristic for the Pittsburgh Steelers, though, last year. They were kind of getting pushed around a little bit, and a guy that I think could be a good supplemental piece for the Bengals, whether it's as a spot, you know, a starter for the time being, or, you know, just kind of a versatile piece. Matt Filer, he kind of came in and helped stabilize some things. But, you know, I mean, they had some issues on the offensive line, which is very, very uncharacteristic of the Pittsburgh Steelers. And Pouncey was a guy that, you know, he kind of had a little bit of an up and down year. The team did very well. And I think he kind of was like, well, this is our last run here. They were 11-0. And then they kind of hit the buzzsaw at the end there where they lost five of their last six games. And so he's hanging them up. And so is his twin brother as well. So Mike and Marquise Pouncey are both hanging them up. They came into the league and both played very well, had good careers, and there you go. So a little bit of Steelers news here. Let's go to this is also some Steelers news. Keeping the eyes ahead to the post-Ben Roethlisberger era, Ian Rappaport notes that the Steelers were one of teams who sent coaches, personnel people, or area scouts to Trevor Lawrence's pro day. Now, unless they do some major blockbuster trade or something like that, there is no way that the Pittsburgh Steelers are going to end up with Trevor Lawrence. But, you know, they're doing their due diligence, and it just at least shows that they are interested in the top quarterback prospect in this year's draft and are at least doing their due diligence in terms of thinking ahead to life after Ben Roethlisberger. So they had some folks in attendance at Trevor Lawrence's pro day, which, by the way, if you've seen some of the highlights there, ooh, some of the throws made there, that's he's got talent. That is for sure. And it would not be pretty if he ended up in Pittsburgh. That would just keep the quarterback lineage going there right after Ben Roethlisberger. I do think that the Pittsburgh Steelers will be drafting a quarterback probably pretty high this year. They let go of Duck Hodges. They've got Mason Rudolph. Ben Roethlisberger has said that he wants to he wants to work with the team to make his contract manageable. He wants to stay in Pittsburgh. I would assume this is probably his last year, but it's Ben. We never really know with Ben, do we? This is a little bit of Ravens news. I mentioned a little bit of Browns news earlier that J.J. Watt has a preference to potentially head to the Browns after being released from Houston per his request. So he may end up in Cleveland, and we're just kind of continuing on with some AFC North news. I think most of you know this by now, but Orlando Brown is wanting out of Baltimore. He played at left tackle and played well in Ronnie Stanley's stead. Ronnie Stanley's making a boatload of money, and you know, or they were going to move Orlando Brown back to right tackle. Orlando Brown does not want to play right tackle, not only because of paychecks, but his father was a pretty good left tackle as well in the NFL. And he kind of wants to carry on that lineage. He wants to just be a left tackle, and he wants to be traded. So the Ravens are probably going to be asking for quite a bit of capital in order to be able to unload that player. I don't expect there to be kind of a trade yet. I think as free agency heats up, I think as the draft potentially starts to heat up, and if he's not moved, you know, these are the kinds of trades that, yeah, they're made in free agency, but they're also made around draft time, right? Because what happens is teams kind of say, okay, well, we can actually get this player at this position as a replacement. We can send that guy off to the other team, and maybe we get draft capital we can use this year for that player. So, you know, these trades happen in free agency. They happen in right before the draft as well. Sometimes they happen in season. I remember the Bengals traded for, I mean, it's not as high profile of a guy, but he was a former first round pick, Kelly Jennings. They traded for him, you know, around training camp time, and those things kind of happen. So we'll see, but I don't expect – I know a lot of Bengals fans would say, oh, you know, we would love to have him in Cincinnati. Of course, he would be a very good player and bolster the offensive line, but he would want to play left tackle, so that would mean you'd have to kick Jonah to the right if that's what – if you're bowing to his wishes there in terms of putting him as a left tackle. You know, the other thing with it is interdivisional trade. I don't know that Baltimore would want to trade a guy in the division to a team they see twice a year. I don't know that that would be in their best interest either. So I don't know that that's going to happen for Cincinnati. It would be more realistic if he was a free agent. But either way, it does not appear that Orlando Brown is going to – well, he probably will not be in Baltimore, but it's going to take a lot to get him out of there. So we got to see what the value is there. Speaking of the Ravens, again, they love getting talented players at the tight end position. They love it, love it, love it. And they are one of five teams who have reached out to the Eagles about Zach Ertz. And by the way, the Seahawks are the same. They've had Jimmy Graham. Had a lot of, you know, talented guys, and now they want Zach Ertz. It sounds like Ertz wants a reunion with Frank Reich, who is the head coach of the Colts. That would be an interesting pairing, and it's a little surprising to hear that because Indianapolis's quarterback situation is unsettled. You know, are they going to go with Jacob Eason? I think they still got Jacoby Brissett. Phillip Rivers just announced his retirement. So are they going to draft a guy? I don't know. There's going to be a lot of quarterbacks on the move, a lot of quarterbacks retiring and all that sort of thing. We've talked about that a bit on this show. So, you know, Ertz apparently wants to go to the Colts, but their quarterback position's unsettled. Go figure. A couple of other NFL news and notes. The Panthers are releasing Pro Bowler Kawan Short after 8 seasons. This is on NFL.com. He was at one point, especially in their Super Bowl run, ended up becoming a pretty dominant player, one of the better defensive linemen in the NFL. He was a second-round pick in 2013. But he had 2 Pro Bowls, and they are going. You can see here, Nick Shook of NFL.com writes, the Panthers got younger at the position in 2020, drafting Auburn defensive tackle Derek Brown, who was a stud at Auburn, and 6th-rounder Bravion Roy to fill in for Short. So he played in just 5 games and has had some injury issues. It's a guy that, you know, has had some his best years had some great PFF scores. Later had some not so great ones. And you, if you remember here, it mentioned Star Latulele, another guy that was, you know, he teamed up with Kawan Short and they made a dominant pair inside for the Panthers. When they, you know, when Cam Newton took him to the Super Bowl, it was just a really good defense as well. So, you know, they're releasing him. This could be another one of those options for the Bengals if they decide maybe not to do the Mike Daniels route. Maybe he's a guy they bring in as a rotational player, a guy they get on a value deal. Here's the thing. I mean, if he's been battling injuries, you've been injured on that. If you're the Bengals, you've been injured on the interior defensive line. I don't know if going to a well of a player that's been, you know, battling some injuries is the best thing for the team, but you know, it's a name, it's a former high draft pick, and the Bengals tend to like to try and go in free agency. They tend to like going after those guys to mine what is left out of their career. You know, if their prime days are behind them, maybe they can mine that out of them a little bit. Mike Zimmer was great at doing that on defense when he was a coordinator of the Bengals. So, you know, they've gone down that road before. We'll see if they want to continue going down that road with Kawan Short, but he is being released by the Carolina Panthers. Tom Brady, according to Bruce Arians, came to the Buccaneers to, quote, try a different way. I guess try a different way, meaning try a different way from the Patriots' way. And by the way, how annoying is the phrase the Patriots way? Sometimes I just hear it. You've heard it so many times over the years. It's like, ugh. Anyway, Arian said via joebucksfan.com, I think his competitive spirit is so strong that he wanted to do it. He wanted to show people. I've never said anything bad about Bill Belichick. I know everybody tries to say I do. His record speaks for itself. He is probably the greatest one ever, but I think Brady wanted to try a different way. That's kind of a little bit of the story where, you know, when Tom Brady was entering free agency, you were kind of like, you know, in the early, when you were looking at it, in at the end of 2019's regular season and all of that, you're going, oh, there's no way Tom Brady's going to leave the Patriots. Cause it's Brady and Belichick, right? And then as the offseason started to unfold and more time started to pass, you started to hear more and more about a disconnect between Brady and Belichick and that Brady just kind of wanted a fresh start somewhere. I think, you know, he kind of wanted to do a little bit of the LeBron James, Dwayne Wade thing where he can kind of rally some of the names that he's either worked with in the past and or kind of say, hey, you know, you're talented guys. Let's go down here. Let's try and put this thing together, build an all-star team and win one. And that's what they did. You know, he got Antonio Brown, a guy who has had a lot of issues since some of his best days in Pittsburgh. He had a brief cup of coffee with the Patriots and Tom Brady, and Tom Brady still believed that he could help the Buccaneers. So they picked him up. He had a nice stretch towards the end of the season. Obviously, he recruited Gronk, or maybe even vice versa. I don't know exactly how that all worked out, but he got Gronk to come out of retirement, and Gronk had a huge Super Bowl. So, you know, that's he just kind of wanted to go do it on his own, and I think that's kind of what made I was always impressed, obviously, with Tom Brady and everything, but I think that's what was most impressive to me was just the fact that, you know, he went away from the system. He went away from the coach. And he was the one who had the high amount of success, whereas the coach was kind of left sitting. Now, in truth, Belichick kind of got the short end of the stick there because a lot of valuable players opted out of the season because of COVID. And, you know, the Patriots were in a little bit of rebuilding mode. Even with Tom Brady under center, they just needed some more help. And, you know, I think you saw at least what Tom Brady was able to mask on that team in 2019. So, yeah, but he goes to Tampa Bay, wins the Super Bowl, and, you know, now you've got some kind of, ooh, how does that legacy look? A couple questions like that. So, yeah, Robert Rourke says only two teams were interested in Tom Brady, Tampa Bay and the Chargers. That was it. Unbelievable. Yeah, I think they looked at the price tag and maybe the age. And, you know, that was the other thing is, you know, how strong is his arm at 42, 43 years old? How does he have a lot left in the tank? And it started off pretty well. It hit some major skids in like November for the Bucks, and then they put it together, scraped together, and won 3 road games in the postseason, and then had kind of the quote unquote home game, and won the Super Bowl at home, which was kind of cool for them. But yeah, he just wanted a different look. I don't want to end the show on a somber note, but we cannot. We have to talk about this. I don't want to use a double negative there. We have to talk about this. Vincent Jackson, 3-time Pro Bowler, former Chargers and Buccaneers receiver, dies at 38 years old. Kind of an odd story here. A sad story, obviously, but also an odd one. I had seen some reports that Vincent Jackson was, I believe some close to him thought he was missing for a little bit. They did the police found him, did a welfare check on him. They thought he was fine about 2 days before he passes away, and he is found dead in a hotel room in the Tampa Bay area. 38 years old. He was staying at the Homewood Suites in Brandon, Florida since January 11th. You see here this paragraph: the discovery followed an effort from police to locate and speak with Jackson just 4 days earlier as a result of a missing persons report filed by Jackson's family members. Authorities found Jackson at the Homewood Suites and spoke to him, assessing his well-being before canceling the missing persons case. So they went in there. The family was concerned about him. He had been in there for a while. They found him, located him, talked to him, and just basically said, you know, I assume people are worried about you. Are you okay? You know, where are you at emotionally? And the police seemed to be satisfied with what Jackson was telling him and what they found out there. So they left, and, you know, just a few days later, he was found dead in the hotel room. Now, this is interesting. There are no apparent signs of trauma in regards to Jackson's death, according to the sheriff's office. I don't like to give a lot of details on that kind of stuff because I always try and edge on the side of respecting privacy, especially when you're talking about someone's death. But that's just kind of, I found that to be kind of an important aspect because, you know, obviously there's talk at just 38 years old and all this kind of, he was staying at a hotel for a long period of time, all this kind of stuff. Was suicide the factor? None of that's been officially announced, at least that I've seen, but a very sad story, a very talented football player. And apparently unfortunately, close enough attention to this, but apparently a very good guy in the community. I read somewhere that he was doing some work with like veterans and just a lot of, you know, very well-liked guy. I know when he was playing for the then San Diego Chargers near my neck of the woods, you know, he was a very well-liked guy by the Chargers organization, their fans and all of that, a very talented guy. And, you know, it's very sad that at that young age, he's found dead. I'm sure more sad details will emerge, but and I don't want to end on a sad note. I don't want to end the show on a sad note, but you know, we would be remiss if we did not mention that sad story coming out of the NFL. Well, I think that's going to do it for us. We went through a ton of stuff, even though it's the off season, we still got a lot to talk about. And, I'm happy that all of you joined us live. I'm happy that all of you, if you were unable to join us live, I'm stoked that you're downloading after the fact. I appreciate it. We will see you on Wednesday evening for the grand show with myself and John Sheeran. We'll be doing some more listener questions live. The other thing too, please, 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 if you can, donate to the Ken Anderson Alliance Foundation. He was on our show recently. We are scraping together our own big donation to get some cool swag that we are going to give out to some listeners. We're going to kind of see how that works out there. But if you can make a donation, please, to the Ken Anderson Alliance, note our show or Cincy Jungle, if you will. Ken's a great guy. He's been on our show a couple times. We want to support the great cause that they are doing there. So please do so. And we'll be getting some swag to give out, and we'll have a fun episode where we're giving out that stuff. But anyway, thanks everybody. Take it easy. Enjoy the rest of your week. We'll talk to you soon. and Uday.